Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Victory Wednesday.
I'm doing great. Only reason it's not Victory Tuesday was because James and I both kicked butt yesterday at work, and work also kicked our butts. We both needed a little time out to recuperate. James, coming off of his vacation time, wasn't ready to come back to work yet. Don't blame him, especially a day early. They called you, were like, hey, we need you. But no, I'm good.
Sick or injured, can you come back and save us?
Yeah, it was a fun time. But I'm great. How are you, James?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Feeling a little bit better energy-wise today.
Great.
Going into this day. And I'm looking forward to having this conversation and talking about this, man. I think it's going to be a pretty exciting show. There's a lot to talk about from the game. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in our personal professional realm. Thing going on here, right? Yeah. With the podcast, with the show, as we may be relabeling towards, going a little more on the video side of things, having this available for folks in the YouTube.
Yeah. On YouTube, in the YouTube, on the YouTube. Stop. And this is the first episode that I will say out loud. It will be on YouTube. This episode will be on YouTube very shortly after we're done recording. James is celebrating now. So if you want to add a little video aspect of it, he's got to wave his terrible towel. Look at him. It's not October anymore. Breast Cancer Awareness Month is over.
You still got to support breast cancer awareness.
That's true. It's upside down.
That's important.
There you go. But yeah, so this episode will be live. The episode will be live itself on YouTube the moment it's done. I'm going to post it immediately. Look for us to be having an intro come along at some point. We're working on a lot of different things. But James and I both decided we don't want to wait for you guys to get the content of us recording these videos. We're going to put them out there. Intro or no intro, you're going to have them until we get the intro. Then you're going to have the intro too. But that's beside the point. Let's talk about the other stuff that's going on. Like James already mentioned, we may be leaning towards the Steelers by the Lake show. It's still a sports podcast. It's a show in podcast form. Maybe we'll redo our logo. Underneath it says sports podcast. Maybe we won't. We'll figure it out. But relabeling is happening. There's also something else happening locally near us, James. You want to share that?
First off, online, we've made a big, big milestone this week. Crossed 500 followers on the Facebook page.
We did.
So really appreciate everybody that's gone to the page and liked it. Also, we were nominated, and we still don't know who, to be one of Erie's best podcasts.
Yeah.
So there's a voting period that is open, started at the beginning of November. So we found out like right after the last show, honestly. And then this is going to go through the end of December. So you've got to the end of December to help us out. If you hear this, we will be posting on our Facebook page a link to the voting. You don't have to vote for every category for it to count. You can actually go to the menu option in the top right hand corner. There's a little hamburger type icon. You can click on that sucker, go to podcasts, and just click on Steelers by the Lake.
Yeah.
Hook us up, baby. We want to be voted Erie's number one podcast.
That would be insane. You do, however, need to have an active and operating email to confirm the email. That way people just can't go on there over and over again and vote. I mean, they can if they keep making emails. We don't want to win that way.
We want it to be legit.
Yeah, legit. So it'll
but
ask
you can
you
still
to,
tell your friends that don't listen to vote for us. I'm good with it.
That you can. Or you can tell friends that need to listen to vote as well. We'll figure that out. We appreciate all the support from you guys consistently. We can't say thank you enough. Be looking for different things to come in the future, for sure. But what's next, James?
Next, we're going to get into pregame news between the last game, actually between the bye week and where we're at before this game. So the very first piece of news came out that the Steelers were getting a chance once again at Khalil Davis. If you remember, a few weeks back, Khalil Davis was released from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Steelers put in a waiver claim. They got beat out by the Colts for it. At that time, we told you, keep an eye on this. If this man does not stick with the Colts, Pittsburgh will likely try to make a move to get him to their team. The Colts ended up cutting him, which allowed Pittsburgh to then go ahead and sign him to the practice squad. We now have both Davis twins, Khalil and Carlos.
Woot woot, we're a team of brothers. Yeah. Team of brothers. We don't have Trey Edmonds, do we? Is he in the practice squad?
The practice squad.
Okay, yeah, so we got three groups of brothers on the team right now.
We had four when Jameer Jones and his brother, the offensive tackle, or Jaron Jones, were on the team.
Yeah, we got Edmonds, we got Watts, and now we have Davises.
Yeah.
Fun times.
This time, twins.
Yeah, twins.
Twins, man.
Like, legit.
And this is pretty neat, too, because Khalil Davis went four picks before the Steelers picked in the sixth round that year.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up picking Antoine Brooks Jr., the safety, in the sixth round that year. But four picks previous, Khalil went. Next pick came around, and they took his twin brother, Carlos Davis. So you have to feel there was a pretty strong possibility they would have taken him right there in the sixth round.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So especially now that this has happened, you know they were ready to go ahead and click that draft button.
Yeah, and we talked about it before. He had the better numbers. He had the better combine grade, like all that stuff. Yeah, yeah.
More tackles, more sacks and everything in his college career. He played way more minutes than his brother did that we drafted. So
yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, I like it.
I love it. I want some more of it. Sorry. I had to do it. But yeah,
Melvin Ingram.
So we did trade him for a conditional sixth round pick. Conditional. That's important. Ooh. I know. I still wanted. James and I are like, nothing less than a third. Sixth. Pittsburgh's like, a sixth will do.
A fourth is okay.
Well, here's the thing. And I understand to a degree why. And it's because exactly what Mike Tomlin said. He wants volunteers, not hostages. I get it. You still need to be compensated correctly for it, in my opinion. And again, we don't know the terms of the conditional trade. So basically what it means is we got a sixth round pick. Right now, nothing less. If he plays more, gets better stat line, there's some conditions where it could move up to a fifth, potentially a fourth. I highly doubt it could move up to a third, but that'd be nice.
No, not a chance.
No.
Not a chance.
Usually I bet you there's two options.
Depending on performance and playing time. So there is a possibility if he goes there and the Chiefs don't play him the rest of the year.
That we get a seventh?
That we would get a seventh, yeah.
Booty. Yeah.
But again, you don't make that trade if you're the Chiefs unless you're ready to start the guy.
Well, true. And he played last week and made an impact immediately. I think he already had a sack and a half or something.
I think he's going to start every game. He's going to play a significant number of snaps, probably at least three quarters of the snaps there, just coming off to get a breather once in a while. And I expect him to put up some decent numbers. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets five or six sacks in the rest of the season because he's going to be getting enough reps out there to do so.
Yep.
And honestly, they got a couple pass rushers there. So if he's on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage from like Chris Jones,
yeah,
that's going to give you some real options there for getting after the quarterback. And that will benefit Pittsburgh. As long as he doesn't do it against Pittsburgh, if we play them, that's all I care about, man.
True.
Otherwise, go Melvin Ingram. Go do it, buddy.
Yeah.
Get us a better pick.
So you talked about Khalil Davis being signed to the practice squad.
Yeah.
We also signed a guy by the name of Josh Lambeau.
That's right.
That kicker. Kicker basically was because Boswell was still under the
concussion protocol,
dealing with all that. Mm-hmm. If you watch the game, you know that he's not under concussion protocol anymore.
Definitely not. Football might be.
That's very true.
Kick the crap out of it.
Yeah. And then with the signing of Khalil Davis, Steelers did release the defensive lineman, Chris Slayton, from the practice squad.
Yeah, which he's only been on the team for like a week and a half.
It doesn't matter.
It was no big deal. Also, in relation to the Melvin Ingram move, the Steelers did then officially promote Taco Charlton from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. So expect Taco to be that number one backup outside linebacker the rest of the way this season.
Yeah.
So, nice to see that they actually had a backup plan ready there.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So when the whole crap happened, and worst case scenario with Ingram, they at least had somebody they can bring up with some serious pedigree. And honestly, I think he's a decent outside linebacker. It's just he wasn't putting up the numbers and the performance what you would expect of a first round pick, which is why he basically didn't work out with the first couple teams, because they're expecting a guy to get him 15 sacks a year, and it's just not who he's been this far in his career. Not saying I think he's going to be. I just think that he's a lot better than most backup outside linebackers, which is great for Pittsburgh.
I'm just going to keep saying when you keep talking these facts, man. You keep spitting truth, and I'm like, yep. Anyways. That was gross. Steelers did protect before the game. Carl Joseph, wide receiver Anthony Miller, and tight end Kevin Radar. Who later, Kevin Radar was promoted to the active roster, or promoted to the 53 for game day. But before that, Najee Harris was named something.
We were talking about it. He was starting to put together some good weeks, week after week, and what the 4 weeks add up to a month. When you have four good weeks, you might just be NFL Offensive Rookie of the Month, like Najee Harris was in the month of October.
Yes, sir. And you know who's going to be it in the month of November? Pat Freiermuth.
We're going to get to that. But he's on the right path for it,
That he is. Kevin Radar was elevated. We went over that. Inactives for the game.
Number one, Cody's boy, Dwayne Haskins. Anthony McFarland Jr., which was a huge shocker to almost everyone involved. We assumed that he'd be getting worked more and more into the offense. Instead, he got worked more and more into the bench for this week, which
it's got to be injury related. It's got to be injury related. It has to be.
You would hope. But I got a real strong feeling that that won't be happening this upcoming week, because with some of the things that happened the way they did as far as the return game and him having some kick return capabilities, not punt, but kickoff anyway, you might want him available for the game just in case. Next we had Eric Ebron, who was out with the hamstring. We knew that.
Thank the Lord.
Zach Banner.
Sorry.
Zach Banner. Still not getting the helmet on game day quite yet. And again, I think that more has to do with the fact that he doesn't have any experience in the NFL yet playing left tackle. So he's kind of a right tackle only for Pittsburgh. Joe Haig can back up both tackle spots, which is why Zach Banner's not getting the helmet these days. Buddy Johnson, he just has been the odd man out at middle linebacker thus far. And then Akilah Witherspoon, which is the most questionable trade that we've had thus far.
What are we doing? What the heck? I don't know why we traded for him. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Game day. Game time.
He might get a helmet this week, too, with the way one of the corners played. But we're going to get to that.
We are. Game time. Starting where we always do, because I could go, I could rush through this game in a lot of different ways, but I'm not going to rush it. I want to talk about this a little bit. Ben Roethlisberger just keeps improving, man. He had a better completion percentage this week than last game. Less yards, but big deal. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. 21 of 30, 205 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Bro, 21, do you want to know what that math adds up to, my guy?
What's that?
He threw for 205 yards on 21 passes. That's 9.76 yards a completion. That's almost a first down every time.
Yeah.
We need that. I think Ben had, that was the best, one of them was a little sloppy, but that was the best game Ben has had all year when it comes to deep balls. By far.
He did connect a couple of them. I mean, that one to James Washington would have been a touchdown had he put it out in front
of him. And the one to Deontay was a little bit of a... Or no, that was James Washington as well. James Washington had to come back for the ball, but Ben was almost got the ball stripped from him, did a good job of reinitiating himself and getting set and threw it downfield. A little underthrown, but he threw it to the one spot that there were no defenders, so I'll take it.
Yeah, so I feel like he at least got a couple deep balls together. Again, I would say that the middle of the field in that like mid-range 7 to 15-yard completions was really lacking. We had a bunch of short stuff and a few long ones, and that kept the average where you would like to see it. But I really want to see them get back in that 250 to 270-yard range at least passing the ball. Because they were unable to finish some of these drives. I mean, Boswell's one of the best kickers in the game, no doubt about it. But you don't want to continue asking him to kick 50-plus yarders over and over because you can't sustain a drive.
Very
it's
true.
Not fair to him.
It's
man.
Not.
Just
no.
cause he can do it. Like they say, just cause he can do it doesn't mean you should. So let's not just put all the pressure on Boswell. Let's help him out with a few more completing the drives with touchdowns.
Yep.
Which is going to take a few more of those, you know, 7 to 15 yard passes down the field instead of the smaller dump offs that we've seen a few of. But I loved the accuracy. It got a little bit better this week. I felt a few times in behind the guy or whatever. But you kept it out of the defensive back's hands, which is a
couple of those sideline throws,
thing.
Man. Those sideline yeah. throws up the side of the field, even that one to Pat Freiermuth in the end zone. Great passes, great positioning. That is, I think, all around the best game I've seen Ben play. Ben even rushed for a first down on this one, didn't he? Or did he not get it?
He didn't give him the first down.
Whatever.
It was a trap spot, man.
He got close.
But he got it. Yeah. Yeah, it was a read option, and he kept it, which you don't expect from a quarterback of Ben's age and declining athletic ability.
The only quarterback you would expect that less from was Peyton Manning, and when Peyton Manning did it one time, he got a touchdown.
But yeah, the last couple of weeks, Ben's been showing the willingness to put his head in there and run the ball if needed to try to go get a first down.
Yeah, or the 2-point conversion against the Browns.
Yeah, and that's exactly the other thing I was referencing with that yep. was from last week. Yeah, he just went for it, you know. If he sees the opening and he only needs a couple yards, he knows he can get a couple yards. So I love the fact that he's all in on the season. And you gotta be. I mean, we all know that there's a decent chance this is Ben's last year, but he's trending in the right direction now with 10 touchdown passes to only 4 interceptions on the season. The ratio is nice. 2.5 TDs per INT is a nice ratio.
Yeah.
So it's real nice that he's been able to clean up those turnovers. We don't have the Joe Burrow syndrome here where you're leading the entire NFL in interceptions right now. I mean, the kid's putting together a good year, right? But the interceptions are costing them. It's starting to add up, and they're starting to lose games because he's throwing too many of them. And Ben's cut down on the interceptions, and Pittsburgh's going on a winning streak.
Yep.
These things go hand in hand.
And another reason for cutting down those is the running game.
Yeah,
we'll get into that in a second, but if you had more to say about Ben, go ahead.
No, I just feel like he's just being a little bit more cautious about the throws and a little bit more calculated and really seeing the field a little bit better on where the defenders are.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I also think he's just making better passes. I feel like they look better half the time compared to what they used to. But yeah, running game, Najee Harris, man, 22 carries, 62 yards and a touchdown. And the touchdown was, again, Pittsburgh struggled for how long up until recently to score a touchdown in the first quarter. That was the first drive of the game. They got the ball first. We got a nice stop. Najee Harris sealed the deal with like an 11 or 12 yard touchdown run, if I remember correctly, something like that.
Nice run, man.
Great run. Found the hole.
It was a real nice run.
There were a couple times where I was like, am I watching Najee Harris or Le'Veon Bell? He was very patient, found a hole. The one run he got like 9 or 10 out of, and I thought he was going to get tackled behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it looked like the nose tackle had him dead to rights in the backfield.
And he's like,
he puts a little juke move on him and then cuts right in between.
He did the boomer Esiason thing.
What? Let's be honest. The blocking in this game was not fantastic in the run game. He really got nowhere to go on a regular basis and made the best of it every single time. With a number of runs where he was getting hit behind the line of scrimmage and still gained a yard or two, or at the line of scrimmage and still gained 3. Or ones like that where guys had him dead to rights in the backfield and he jukes people up and then goes and gets 9 yards.
Absolutely.
So I can only imagine once they really start getting a little bit better cohesion on that offensive line and getting them some bigger holes again. This was a team that had some really, really stout interior defensive linemen. We saw this as the game went on. With Akeem Hicks and then Eddie Goldman, it is, I think, was the other one.
Yep.
Just really gave Kendrick Green fits all game long, pushing him into the backfield. And some of the formations really, really ticked me off, man. I'm going to be honest with you. They had an addiction to the single back formation with two tight ends, one on each side of the line, and then two wide receivers, one on each side of the line, right next to them as if they were tight ends.
Yep.
And every time they were in that formation, the run play got stuffed. Every time. Yep. And then they twice in this game, they ran the same dang play out of the formation, two plays in a row. And I was like, oh, dude, you didn't want to be in my house. I was yelling at the TV. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. How is he running the same play out of the same bad formation against a goal line defense? This isn't working. It didn't work the first time. Then it was because of the formation. So let's run the same exact thing. And what do you know? Didn't work.
Yep.
Or it did, but just barely, because Najee's a beast, you know? Like, just barely getting that first down, just barely getting the yard that he needed to. You got to do better. I mean, what was the point of calling up Kevin Rader if you're not going to use him as a run blocker?
He caught a ball, didn't he? If I remember correctly.
He caught one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lost a yard on the play.
I think they gave him a yard. I think they gave him a yard, if I remember correctly.
Did they give him a yard on that?
I'm 90% sure they gave him a yard. It was a dumb play, but whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A yard. He needed what?
Two, three. Or three. I think he needed down. Three. Yeah.
Third down. Yeah. Yeah. But like, that was my thing, is that you've got the personnel for it. Like, if you're going to run in that kind of formation, if you want those wide receivers out there, I get it. But you need to push them out to the sidelines, push them out.
And you still got Derek
out of the picture. Yeah. If you want four guys bunched in like that, bring in your third tight end, who's a good blocker, and Kevin Rader. Yeah, in that particular game, it's not Eric Ebron we're talking about. It's Kevin Rader. That's a good blocker. And bring in Derek Watt.
Yep. Yo, then you know what would be wild? If you came out in that formation, put Derek Watt as a tight end, had Rader as the other tight end, single back, two other tight ends, and then you spread out. It would make no sense, yeah. But it'd be funny to watch.
No, but that's how you win matchups, though. That's how you really confuse people. And honestly, I didn't even hate Chase Claypool being in that formation because he's so big.
Yeah.
If he's one-on-one with a corner or a safety,
but Deontay's not going to win it. Deontay's not going to do anything.
Well, no, and it wasn't even Deontay. It was Ray Ray. Ray Ray was the other wide receiver on all these plays. And I'm just sitting there like, he is too small and he's not a good enough blocker. You can't do
that. That only makes sense if you're going to run the end around or like a reverse. That's the only time it makes sense.
Yeah.
Or fake
it. Which they did later on in the game out of that formation. But it was an audible. Ben audibled to that. It wasn't even the original play call. So it wasn't even something that Canada said, oh, I'm going to use this later on. Ben had to audible to it for them to actually use it.
Yeah. And so, it worked. It worked. If I remember correctly, that was a good run.
Absolutely did work.
Claypool took that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Claypool got used a little too much like a running back in this game, and now he's hurt because of it.
Listen, everybody did. James Washington had two carries for 13 yards. Yep. Chase Claypool had two carries for 13 yards. Deontay Johnson had two carries for 11 yards. Don't get me wrong; those plays are working. They look nice, and they're good to they're have.
Effective,
but you can't.
You got linebackers tackling them.
Yep. 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 Yep.
That's where you were going, right?
Yeah.
You got Roquan Smith, a 240-pound fast middle linebacker, crushing our wide receivers. We can't complain about him.
And it's downhill running.
The staff is putting him in a position to be injured.
Yep, it's downhill running. It's different when he's out and that you're being chased down by somebody. Totally different. Yeah. Totally different.
Yeah. Yeah, but when you're trying to square up and get downfield and you got to like lower your shoulder into a middle linebacker, come on.
Yep. Yep. Benny Snell also two carries, 6 yards. Nothing fancy there. Ben Roethlisberger technically had two carries for 0 yards.
Benny looked effective, though. I'll give Benny credit. He did drive the pile. The one run was a 5-yard run. So even though the other one not so effective, the 5-yard run was a nice one that he moved the pile.
Yeah. Still, I mean, he had a better average per carry than Najee in this game. So, there's that. But that's about it for running game. Receivers, let's go to receivers. I think the important thing here is I'm not even going to talk about different positions here. I'm going to talk about Pat Freiermuth immediately as a receiver.
Let's just talk about the guys that catch the ball, right?
5 catches on 6 targets, almost 100%. 43 yards and two touchdowns. Two. I said last time, led by two touchdowns by our rookies. This week, we were led by 3 touchdowns by our rookies. What more do you need? I'll take 4 next week.
I want 4 this week.
Is that our,
is going to be like a tackle eligible to Dan Moore?
Take it back. I would cry. No.
Trey Norwood.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Six by Trey Norwood. Here we go.
We would love that. But yeah, so Pat Freiermuth had himself the best game ever. Obviously, his first career with 2+ touchdown catches, 2 or more, in his league play in the NFL this year. He's a rookie, whatever.
Yeah.
Deontay Johnson, 5 catches for 56 yards. Deontay played very well. You have something to say.
I got one thing on that Pat Freiermuth.
Oh, quick. Please, go for it.
Had a hell of a game, obviously. Contested catches, right?
Yeah.
That second one thrown right to the DB, but Ben threw it because the DB wasn't looking for it. But also with those 2 touchdown catches in that game, he's the second rookie tight end in Steelers history to ever have 2 receiving touchdowns in a game in their rookie season. He's the second one. First one was none other than Heath Miller. That's
rare ground. You're not wearing his jersey. You're wearing a Jesse James jersey.
That's because Jesse caught it.
Jesse did catch it, which is ironic, though, because Jesse played against us in this game. And Jesse didn't do a whole lot. Jesse didn't perform very well in this game. But it's funny because James and I were talking before the show that we're in this weird triangle of Jesse James. We had Jesse James originally, and then Jesse James went and played for the Lions, and now Jesse James is currently playing for the Bears. So we got to see this cool triangle come all the way around of Jesse James playing for all these different teams, including us, the team we played this week, and then the team we play next week. So that's a nice little fun fact about Jesse James.
Yeah, man. One of my favorite tight ends is a backup tight end. Jesse was a really fun guy when he was with the Steelers.
Absolutely.
Hope he continues having a good career. You know, 2 weeks ago, he had a very clutch touchdown catch for the Bears. And I'm glad he didn't repeat the performance against Pittsburgh this week.
And on the note of former Steelers, you know, getting good play time or performing well. James Conner, if I remember correctly, is currently leading the entire NFL in touchdowns, rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, he's got like 11 total, doesn't he?
Yep.
Like 9 rushing,
yep.
Couple receiving.
I think it might be 10 rushing even, yeah.
Is it 10? Wow, he's having a heck of a year, man. You got to be happy for him.
Oh, absolutely. Love it, love it, love it. James Washington, going back to Pittsburgh stuff, James Washington, 1 catch for 42 yards.
And again, that was the one where he was going deep and he had his receiver burned. Ben unfortunately underthrew it, but James made one heck of a play on identifying where the ball was.
Yep.
He was looking back. He knew there was a chance that he was going to be outrunning Ben's arm on it. And I think Ben can throw it further than that. It's just that he didn't step all the way into it. He didn't heave it far enough.
Yep.
James came back and made sure nobody beat him to the ball in one heck of a play, man. Anytime you can get a 42-yard chunk on one play, that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, Chase Claypool, 3 catches, 30 yards. He had an okay game.
Yeah, long one of 26. So I guess the other two, he only got 4 yards on. But
whatever.
Again, that's kind of what we said, right? We either had deep down the field plays or we had short dump offs, and that stat line shows it more than any of them when you had 2 catches for 4 yards and 1 for 26.
Yep.
Out of the same guy. So, you know, Chase really kind of, he personified the toughness in this game, getting the extra yards on these end arounds and reverses and jet sweeps, and getting the extra yards on the short catches as well. He was injured in the game. He's got a toe injury right now. They're calling him week to week, which suspiciously sounds like he might be out this upcoming week.
Sadly.
So even though he was able to get back in the game and finish the game, that toe injury might be bad enough that he might miss a week. And honestly, if there's a game that you think maybe you can do without him for a week, it might be the one against the Lions.
It's this one. Najee Harris, 3 receptions, 16 yards. And you talk about the long ball, the short ball. I like looking at the stat line for all the people with one catch, I should say. James Washington, 1 for 42. And then you have Ray, 1 for 12. Derek Watt, 1 for 3. Balaj, 1 for 2. And Raider, 1 for 1. So you have all these guys that, you know, 3 of the guys that had 1 catch on the game, less than 3 yards or less, is what you're looking at.
Yeah. Yeah, and it again speaks to what we were talking about, right? These guys are either getting a couple yards or they're getting more than 10. So nice performance out of Deontay Johnson this week. You know, 5 catches, 56 yards. Didn't get in the end zone. The rookies hogged all that action.
Oh, yeah, they did.
But Deontay is getting the opportunity to prove himself as the number one guy. He's getting the most targets darn near every single week, if not every single week at this point. And Ben is not shy about going to him. He's got the ability to make people miss after the catch. And again, in this game, he caught a clutch slant, right?
Yeah.
Just kind of like the week before where he caught a slant. He made a bunch of yards after the catch and put him in range to get another field goal in the end of the game where they needed every field goal they could get. He was able to get him in range one more time. So very reminiscent of the previous game. In just showing that he can come up clutch to get you into field goal range in the end of games on a regular basis. So that's the kind of thing you need from a number one receiver.
Oh, absolutely. Hands down. And speaking about these rookies leading the way with their touchdowns, this part of the podcast is sponsored by none other than Kirk Cousins. You like that? Wasn't that him that did that in the Washington Redskins locker room when he was coming out?
I have no idea.
I got to show it to you. That's fine. Well, I'll show it to you after the podcast. The people listening will know what I was talking about. And then you'll know after the podcast.
I hope so.
You will. I promise. You like that. He's screaming at the people as he walks past. But anyways, moving on to the offensive line, we talked a little bit about, actually, James talked a little bit about Kendrick Green getting pushed back. Dan Moore probably had a fairly weak game, a couple false starts, or at least one, if I remember correctly. He probably could have got called for multiple. Got beat a couple times, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, again, it's the speed on the edge, right? And they had Robert Quinn coming off the edge there, and he's very quick. That's what he's known for. He's a speed guy on the outside. So that's where you're going to see that kind of thing happen from time to time. We got to see him improve his capability there and not allow people to get past him with the speed moves up the edge. I felt like it was a better game than what he played against the Browns, but not substantially. And it's all about his pass pro. He's doing real well in the run blocking department. But pass pro, man, he's got to step it up. Otherwise, I do feel that they need to start considering making a move there. Because on the opposite side, Okorafor is having nice games after nice games after nice games. Okorafor is doing a lot better in the run blocking department and really clamping people down pretty well in the passing. If that's the situation, maybe you make a change at some point and bring Zach Banner in on the right and push Chooks back over to left where you were planning on playing him.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens whenever Banner comes back and be excited for that. Moving on to the defensive line. No, you want to
talk? I'm not done with these offensive linemen, man.
Okay, go on.
And unfortunately, not in a good way, although I'm going to get it out of the way and say Kevin Dotson had a nice game.
Okay.
I don't remember a single thing that Kevin Dotson did that was negative in this game. I do remember one play where Trey Turner just completely missed Roquan Smith and he ran right by him and sacked Ben Roethlisberger, and that put Pittsburgh out of field goal range, and that was right after the turnover that Boswell produced for us as well. So that was a real key moment there where he just completely botched his assignment and let somebody run right by his face and blocked no one. But he was far outshined by the performance of Kendrick Green in this game, who was absolutely bullied in the run game, getting pushed into the backfield time and time again. And again, he was going against some big, strong defensive linemen. But they knew they could bully him, and they did. Just got to see a better push out of him. If he can't get guys driven backwards, he's got to at least be able to hold his ground, and he didn't do that in this game.
Nope.
That really puts Najee in a rough spot, and that's a lot of why you see that yards per carry average for Najee so low, because he was getting penetration right up the middle on a repeated basis, and Kendrick Green was the offender. So as good of a game as I felt he had against Cleveland, I felt it was the exact opposite this week against the Bears. I felt like he got picked on pretty badly. So hopefully he can get a little more towards the Cleveland game going up against Detroit here.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Would love to see better offensive play from our offensive line to be able to produce something. I don't know. More. I want to see Najee getting more consistently with those high 90s, low 100, maybe even mid 100-yard rushing games. And I think that he can get that on 20, 25 carries, 30 max, if he has the blocking for it. I think Najee's more than capable of that. So I agree with you completely that hopefully we see more. And if it has to come from a motivation boost from beating up on somebody bad, let's do it against Detroit. Here we go.
Yeah, come on. Here's the opportunity.
Now's the time. defensive line. I'm going to start right where it needs to start. Cam frickin' Hayward, man. Already leading the league in pass defended. Had one pass defended this game and an interception. What a man.
Incredible play.
That's a man's football play right there.
He literally just owned the offensive lineman, pinned the ball against the offensive lineman, took it off of his body, and said, "This is mine. I now have two interceptions in my career. I'm tied for the Steelers' lead in interceptions on the season, joining the one interception club." And wow, what a season Cam's having, man. If he's not getting to the quarterback, if he's not forcing fumbles, he's intercepting the ball for crying out loud. really can't ask for much more out of Cam than what he's doing these days. And that is just performing at the highest level.
Yep. Love Cam.
Better game from Isaiah Bugs, I thought. Isaiah really didn't get pushed around like he had in previous games. Registered 4 total tackles. It's probably a season high for him. I don't think he's had that in any games previously.
No, I don't think. I think so, you're correct.
Looking a little bit more stout in the run defense category. I don't think we're ever really going to get much out of him in the pass rush anymore. He's changed his body into a nose tackle look now, where he's got a lot more weight around his midsection. He looks a little bit more built and strong as well, but he just doesn't have the length to really disengage and go get after the quarterback. So nice to see him holding up on the point of attack a little bit better this week. Didn't think that we saw too bad of a performance from Chris Wormley. He just didn't really register much in the stat line.
Yeah, same thing with Henry Mondeau, obviously.
Better game for Henry, actually.
Yeah.
3 total tackles for Henry, which is, again, probably a season high. He had one drive where he had 2 tackles and an assist. Like, he just got involved in the play 3 plays in a row. And then registered something later on in the game as well. So Henry did get more involved this week in the run defense. Didn't get anything out of pass rush out of him or really any of the defensive linemen. That all came to our outside linebacker position.
Yeah, that it did. And speaking of that, TJ Watt had 3 sacks this game.
Yeah, man.
3.
That's a lot.
Where does that put him all time? Did he pass anybody?
Yes, he passed Cam Hayward. He's now number 4 in Steelers all time.
He passed Cam. Here's the thing. I definitely expected TJ Watt and Cam to get half sacks at one point, but they gave the full sack to TJ. Because TJ even turned around and looked and pointed at him and was like, yeah, whatever he said. And they gave the full sack to TJ. So it's 3 sacks. That's phenomenal. Yeah.
That's 11.5 on the season. They're 8 games into the season. But let's not forget, he missed a game, and he had a game where he came out and was injured in the first quarter.
Yep.
So this is off of 6 full games and 1 quarter of a game. He's got 11.5 sacks. The only person in the entire NFL that has more sacks than him is Myles Garrett. He's got 12, and he's played 9 full games. TJ's got 11.5 in 6 1/4 quarter games.
And they still have their bye week. Yep. If I remember correctly, Brown still have a bye week. So we'll see what happens whenever he has that bye week and TJ gets a chance to catch up. Moving on to inside. Well, let's talk about Alex Highsmith. What didn't play horribly.
Alex, again, sturdy against the run and got some pressure on the quarterback. It's just tough to beat TJ to the quarterback. Yeah. That's the problem.
He had 3 assisted tackles. That's it.
He had a mountain he was going against over there. And Jason Peters. He's got to be about 450 pounds these days. He's enormous, man. But tough to beat a guy with that kind of resume. And, you know, at least I didn't see Alex getting pushed around. But, you know, I think there will be better matchups coming up for him in future weeks. He's gone through a rough stretch here going against some highly talented left tackles. And I think it's about to get a little bit easier for him.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Because the schedule's about to get tougher, but the left tackles are actually going to take a step backwards.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to see what he can produce moving forward. Now, Taco Charlton.
Let's talk about Taco, man.
Let's
Taco
really about contributed it. In this game. Let's talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about it.
I like it. I like it, man.
You've never heard that before? Have you ever heard that before? Let's talk about it. Really? Okay. Anyways.
Not in like referencing taco.
Yeah. Well, not that's referencing a taco. Like a taco. Same thing. Yeah.
His play was just as delicious as a taco is.
You want to know what's on a taco? Lettuce. So let us talk about him.
I'm in for all the dad jokes. I love it.
Let's get it. Taco played well.
Eat for Eve.
Yeah, basically. Taco had a good game. I was impressed. I was happy to see him get involved as much as he did. Three total tackles, one assist, two full. I don't know what more you want to see out of a backup outside linebacker. I mean, maybe a sack.
I'm sure there's going to be some sacks coming real soon. Honestly, the way he was getting after the quarterback and getting in there, and he's stout against the run. I really don't feel like this is much of a drop off from Melvin Ingram. How many games has Melvin had this year where he had four tackles?
Not many.
Maybe week one, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Probably. That's about it. If that.
Yeah.
Taco's going to be fine. I think Taco's going to be it's going to continue to stay on the 53, I would assume.
Nowhere.
Yeah, there's no way. You need that depth. You need the backup. So we'll have to see what happens with Taco Charlton. On the other side, the third backup outside linebacker didn't play.
Eric Tuzga?
Didn't play. So we just need to know that.
Oh, no, he actually played.
Special teams. Did he come in?
No, he played on defense.
I didn't even see him. Yeah. That's fair.
It was a standard game for him. He didn't register any tackles.
He didn't do anything. Typical game. Good job. He did what he needed to do.
He's not getting bullied around like some young guys do, you know?
Yeah, or some old guys. We'll talk about it later. Inside linebackers. Devin Bush. Didn't have a bad game. Didn't have a good game.
Almost had an interception. It was a nice play.
That was a bullet. That ball, that was to Cole Kmet, if I remember correctly, tight end.
You're right.
Late in the game, and Devin Bush was just a hair off. Just a hair.
Honestly, if he was like an inch taller, he would have
Or an inch longer play. Arms. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you have a middle linebacker that's not 6 feet tall. That's why a lot of the newer age linebackers, your 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", guys with a little bit better range.
What's his name?
Even Shazier would have made that play.
Oh, easily. What's the Edmonds brother's name? Tremaine Edmonds. He's a tank, man.
Yeah, he's like 6'4", 6'5", or something. But
yeah. Speaking of the Bills, just briefly, I met a Bills fan today.
Was she happy about the way they played last weekend?
What'd you say? Was she? It was a he.
Okay. Was he happy about how they played last weekend?
No. And I thought it was hysterical. It was actually the notary guy. I went to sign my divorce papers today. It was the notary guy. I showed up. He's like, "You want a beer?" I was like, "Sure." It's Bill's man. We started talking football while we waited to sign papers. It was a good time. Just hysterical that... you know, Bill's got another. We got to get that Edmonds brother on our team. We need to complete the trio, dude.
I mean, he'd be an upgrade over Joe Schobert, but he's not that.
He'd be an upgrade over Joe Schobert. That's all that matters.
He's Madden good. Well, I'll call it that. He's Madden good, but in real life, he doesn't really do much.
That's true. That's fair. I think he'd do more on our defense than in the Bills' defense. To clarify.
Yeah,
I think they'd use him better for Pittsburgh's defense. But again, moving on. We saw Devin Bush have a pretty decent game. I'm still not impressed at all with Joe Schobert. I mean, he had five total tackles, three assists, two full. I'm just not impressed.
Now, there was one play where he had a one-on-one tackle situation with a running back, and the running back dragged him for an extra 8 yards. So there's that. But this is why we're not impressed. You know,
no.
Even if you're getting run over, get down to the guy's ankles and get him on the ground. Like,
yeah.
Do something. Don't get dragged for 8 yards. You're a middle linebacker. It's your job to be stout.
He lost containment on another play that I saw. I don't remember if it was the running back running the ball or Justin Fields, but he was the outside guy, came in, and just looked out of place, just looked like he didn't even know where the ball was. It was just really sad to see, and I'd really expect more. Like, I understand first few games, one or two games, you don't know the playbook yet. You're learning the team. You're learning their strengths, their weaknesses. At this point, you should be a playmaker. That's just where that's just how I feel it should be. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong to expect that much.
I was expecting way more out of him than what we've seen so far.
Yep.
What I've seen at this stage is somebody that I feel like we would have had way more splash plays out of Robert Spillane than him.
Splash out of Spillane is what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree full heart. I mean, we've seen more splash plays already in like Robert Spillane's time with Pittsburgh than Joe Schobert's. Now, granted, it's been longer. We've seen more out of Spillane, even in the passing game, which is Joe's specialty, we've seen more of Spillane. The pick six against the Ravens last year, or two, whatever that was. That was last year.
Absolutely.
Stuffing Derrick Henry last year in the hole. I haven't seen Joe Schobert do anything that makes me excited to have him on our team.
Yeah.
Period. Sorry. End of discussion.
A couple pass breakups in a couple of the games, but that's been it. Like, a pass breakup isn't that memorable unless it's on fourth down. I'm sorry.
Or in the end zone, which he might have had one in the end zone. But at this point, he's not done so much other stuff that I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
Whatever. Defensive backs. Minka Fitzpatrick had himself a game. Eight tackles. One massive hit on Justin Fields. That was completely legal. Don't care what anyone says. He laid the hammer down. He's allowed to.
Yeah.
That's where I am with him.
Yeah, I thought Minka had a nice game. They went away from him as often as they could, and he still came through and made a lot of plays. Terrell Edmonds, I'm going to take the shot at him this week. I'm going to preemptively strike before you do. They got schemed into him being in one-on-one coverage against wide receivers a lot in this game.
Yep.
They just kept on putting people in motion and putting Terrell Edmonds in a situation where he'd have to cover a wide receiver, and that is just never going to look good for him. And then he got some one-on-ones with some tight ends, and that looked bad as well. He was just getting beat on a regular basis. The only guy that got beat more frequently and worse than him was Arthur Maulette, and that just he was getting beat like he stole something.
Yeah, it was.
Let's call it what it is.
Yeah. And it led to the late comeback. A lot of that fourth quarter scoring was Arthur Maulette not being able to stay with his man or just
beat down the sideline. Yeah. Beat into the end zone.
And I don't even remember if this was Arthur Maulette or Cam Sutton, but I will say the go ahead touchdown pass in the back of the end zone, that push off, clear as day. Clear as day push off by Darnell Mooney and not called. People can say whatever they want about the refs on this game favoring Pittsburgh. There were a few calls that went their way or no calls, and it is what it is. I think the taunting call was meh.
Not really necessary, you know?
No.
I'm not going to go as far as saying he didn't taunt because he absolutely did.
100%.
But was it extreme enough that you needed to throw a flag? Probably not.
No.
But, I mean, it didn't match up with what the commentators were saying either, because they were trying to say that he was between the hash marks.
Yeah, that's what they said. And then he took six steps.
Between hash marks when he made the tackle.
Yep.
Then he went about 10, 15 yards towards the Steelers bench. And they're like, he didn't say anything, but they
you
were
don't
very
have,
careful
and you don't
to
have
not
to say
ever
anything.
Show a camera angle of his face.
Well, and here's
never
the thing.
Showed a camera angle
here's
of
my
face.
Thing. He doesn't have to say anything. A lot of the time is those flags will be thrown because of intimidation, if you're trying to intimidate somebody. And that's what that was. Now, again, I'm not saying that was a good call. That was a good call solely based on what the NFL has been saying that they're trying to do with the taunting. However, I think they need to redefine what taunting is to give players almost an allowance of you can celebrate and you can have fun and not even have fun. And you can be intense. These guys are intense. They are.
Yeah.
And they're passionate. They're allowed to be.
And it's Cassius Marsh. I mean, there's a lot of people watching this game that had no clue that he was on the Steelers last year.
Yep.
And got cut from them this year and didn't make the team. He's extra motivated.
100%.
Yeah, he's very motivated after he makes that play. He's really thinking he just stuck it to Pittsburgh big time and ended up just sticking it to his teammates,
yep.
You know, which is unfortunate, but it really all that is, like, I mean, after he makes the tackle, he jumps up and does a pretty impressive karate spinning kick in the air kind of thing. If he turns to his bench after that, instead of turning to the Steelers bench, it never gets called.
Yep. There's an aspect of
decision to walk. Yeah. He made the decision to walk towards Pittsburgh's bench.
Yep.
In basically in a demonstrative way. Doesn't really matter if he's cussing anybody out or any of that. You're not walking towards that bench to high-five somebody. You're
no, and at that point, the special teams was already running on the field. So
he literally almost bumped into Presley Harvin.
Like, I am really confused by the hip check that the ref did, though.
I'll tell you what.
That was weird.
I have a take on that.
Okay, here we go.
Cassius Marsh can go anywhere to get to the sideline, right? Why did he choose to go directly at the ref?
I still think the ref still kind of...
And I want you to stand up for a second. Stand up for a second.
No. We're not doing that. This is going on video.
Okay. You don't have to. That's fine. I'll back my camera up and I'll do it for you. So if you're standing up and somebody's coming at you and you just saw them do a karate move in the middle of the air and then go after the opposing sideline and he's coming straight for you, you're going to duck your head out of the way? When you duck your head out of the way, does your butt go back? Because if you watch it, he ducked his head down. Tony Corrente absolutely ducked his head down.
I'll give you the fact that your butt goes back. I'll give you the fact that your butt goes back when you put your head down like that. But I'm going to have to go back and look at it because that's questionable to me. Anyways,
yeah.
Staying on the line with the refs, the pass interference was a great call. I don't care what anyone says that Deontay pushed off, whatever. The player was not playing the ball. He was playing Deontay. Pass interference all day, every day. Secondly, if that catch that they called a catch that was reviewed and challenged by Pittsburgh was a catch with the lack of maintaining ball possession that that player had when...
It's definitely a catch when Jesse James caught it.
Correct, but we're not talking about that right now. Calm down, calm down. Then that fumble that they called on Ray was bull. That he had just absolutely as much possession holding the ball tight against his body when he was down because that ball...
You don't have to hold it with your hand to have possession.
Correct, and that ball did not come out until after he made contact with the ground. I mean, the ball came out, but then he re-held onto it on his side. It's the same thing with the David Tyree on the head. It's the same thing with the one guy on the, Martavis Bryant did it on his back.
Yeah, he pinned it to his back. He didn't have that with his hands. He pinned it to his back. It was a catch.
Yep.
And I agree 100% with you on this. And there's a difference between losing control of the ball and the ball moving.
Correct.
The ball absolutely moved. It did not sit in his hands like it did before. It moved down to his wrist and he pinned it through his body, which is still having possession of the ball. It did not remove from his possession until he hit the ground. But once he hit the ground, he's down by contact.
Yep. You can't. The ground cannot cause a fumble. Amen. Say it again.
The ground cannot cause a fumble. Again, for the people in the back.
The ground cannot cause a fumble. Gosh.
Done.
Thanks for watching. And listening. We'll be... I feel like I need to pick this up and drop it or something. Drop the mic. Yeah, I don't know. Right?
Don't do it. Don't do it. They're expensive.
Very expensive. But again, it goes back to that's the inconsistency from the refs. And I'll agree that the refs were inconsistent and that, you know, Pittsburgh got there was a roughing the passer call that was not called on Alex Highsmith against Justin Fields. I agree with that full-heartedly. But people saying the refs beat the Bears, shut up. Go away.
The Bears beat themselves, man. You got to play a clean game. Like, you can't be upset at the referees for calling off sides on the Bears two plays in a row when they lined up a half a yard on the wrong side of the line of scrimmage. That's not the referee's fault. That the refs threw the flag when they were supposed to throw the flag. They gave the Bears the benefit of the doubt on at least six plays where the right tackle number 75 for the
Bears moved early.
moved early to get back there to not get beat again by TJ Watt because he'd already been beat multiple times.
And TJ Watt addressed that as well.
He sure as heck did. But I counted at least six times where there was a false start and he moved early and he didn't get flagged for a false start once in the game.
Yep.
How much worse is it if you've got another 45 yards worth of false starts in this game? Then you're really talking about this narrative even being more worse. The refs were actually being kind to them in regard to how bad Chicago played. Yep. You just got to play discipline. The week before, Pittsburgh had the absolute opposite thing happen to them.
Yep. And it wasn't talked about.
Downs. Yeah. Whatever. Every call in that game against the Browns went in the Browns' favor.
Whatever. I don't care.
And the Steelers still won because they were.
And here's the thing that's hard to remember about these kinds of games. It is possible for a team to have 20 penalties to zero. It's possible. Yeah. If a team plays.
Unlikely, but possible.
Very unlikely. But if a team plays disciplined and another team doesn't, that's how those work. The refs are not there to make the game fair penalty-wise. They're there to make sure the game is played fair within the rules of football. Not
when so there's an illegal formation penalty, that is not the referee's fault.
Correct.
That is the offensive player's fault for not lining up in the right position.
Correct. Now the refs make mistakes on both sides of the ball, and we know that. And this is going to come back if this comes back to bite me in the Lions game, I'm going to be mad. But it can happen. Like, the refs can make a bad call or miss a call. That's why I think there needs to be an aspect of. I liked for a while when you were able to review pass interference penalties. The problem is it didn't work because the refs still got it wrong somehow.
Yeah, because they were unable to change their viewpoint. They were unwilling, I would say.
Yeah.
Unwilling to change their viewpoint.
There needs to be somebody in New York.
Needed to be taken completely out of their hands.
Yep. And I think that's how it should be moving forward. The problem is it delays the game. That's the only problem. Yeah. Which, in my opinion, it shouldn't. In my opinion, you add an extra 30 seconds max for how long it'll take to clarify something via video and then microphone back to the game wherever it's live at. That's an easy fix.
And we saw how doable that is when the American Football League was happening, right?
Yep.
Just 2 years ago, that smaller football organization just went behind the curtains, showed you that review process as they were getting ready for the next play.
Was that AFL?
They had it ready already.
Was that AFL or XFL?
No. It wasn't the XFL.
Okay, it was
the other
AFL.
Organization. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We've seen it work. We know it can work. Anyways, I'm getting too far off course. We're still on DBs right now. You took shots at Terrell Edmonds. Cam Sutton
and
Arthur Mollett. Cam Sutton had an okay game. Nothing crazy. Yeah. Same thing with Trey Norwood.
Again, I really thought I was going to see a lot more out of Cam this year. I don't see him getting smoked on a regular basis, but I'm not seeing the breakups and turnovers I expected.
Nope. I wanted to see more out of Trey Norwood this game. Didn't he wasn't a liability,
didn't
which
really
was a plus.
Much.
True. But I wanted to see more. Someone we did see at least one good play out of James Pierre.
Yep.
Forced a fumble. Kickoff coverage. And then none other than Boswell picked it up.
Boswell
for president and vice president.
Boss for president, man. Come on. Trey Turner ruined that drive. Otherwise, we would have got some points on it.
But, yeah, for sure. Moving. I mean, there's nothing else to talk about defensively right there. But
I'm done with the defense, man. I need more out of him. I can't just be talking about how good TJ Watt is and how
Cam Hayward
every week.
Yep.
I need more to talk about than that. Some of these other guys got to step up.
Yeah. Moving on to special teams, Boswell. No, let's wait. Boswell last. Ray McLeod, two kick returns for 20 yards and...
Very costly fumble. Dang near cost him the game.
It was again, he lost control of the ball. He didn't fumble it. I don't care what they say. And then four punt returns for 7 yards. Four punt returns. I don't know what his yardage was on punt returns.
28 total yards, 7 yard
total.
Average.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. So nothing crazy. His long was 14, which means he had a few shorter ones as well.
Yeah.
We still have not seen the explosive long touchdown return yet from Ray Ray. He's had some exciting moments, but now he's starting to have some ball security issues. And if that continues, you got to figure Pittsburgh is going to come up with another plan.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit before the podcast. If Chase Claypool does not play this week, expect them to potentially elevate Anthony Miller to the 53. Yep. And if they keep seeing these things out of Ray Ray, Steven Sims is still on the practice squad. And is it Steven Sims, correct?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And they keep on protecting him every week. So, you know, there's a reason they're doing it.
Yeah. So,
and I think it's the return capability.
Yeah. Presley Harvin didn't have a bad game, didn't have a good game. That's where I'll leave.
They had a couple. Had a couple shanks, man, couple shanks early on in the game, but I felt like he evened out as the game went along. A lot of pressure because this was a highly skilled return man, and he knew it.
Yeah.
So he was trying to keep him angled to the sidelines and not go as long on his returns to keep him lesser on the return capability.
Yeah, know? For sure. And now time for Boswell. Boswell did miss an extra point. He was 2 for 3 on extra points. But in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Chris Boswell had a fumble recovery, which we already talked about. He hit two.
Tell me about his fourth quarter, Pat McAfee.
Yeah, if you haven't seen, go look at our Twitter. We retweeted something that Pat McAfee tweeted out, a video of him just lighting up how great Chris Boswell's fourth quarter was. Hit a 54-yarder in the fourth quarter, hit a 52-yarder in the fourth quarter, and then that 40-yard game winner to seal it with like 22 seconds left or whatever it was. Great job, Boswell. That is why. Boz for president.
Boz for president, man. Don't forget that fumble recovery.
Freaking right, man.
He's incredible. Just absolutely incredible. Just ice in his veins. The 52 and the 54-yarder both had plenty of more leg on them. A lot more than that Bears kicker when he went for a game winner.
It wasn't a 65-yarder. Dumb.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Come on.
Boz would have nailed it. With 10 yards to spare. Maybe not that much.
With a monkey on his back.
Yeah, would have done it. But again, so keep an eye.
Headwind.
Keep an eye looking forward on injuries and stuff like that. We will let you guys know what we know. But let's move on to looking at next week's game. We played the Detroit Lions. We already played them once in preseason. I went to that game. That was a fun time. Quarterback, Jared Goff.
I ain't scared of him, man.
That's where I'm at.
He never really was able to do anything in Los Angeles. The only time he really excelled was when he had the head coach in his headphones telling him what to do when they got to the line of scrimmage early, which seemed like cheating. But hey, if your coach is smart enough to figure out a hack like that, go for it.
Yeah.
But you know, ever since teams figured that out and just kind of changed their defensive approach to not exposing what they're going to do until after the coach couldn't talk to the quarterback anymore. He started struggling and then was traded to Detroit, where he has 8 touchdowns and 6 picks on the year.
And hasn't won a game.
They're 0-8. 0-8.
Yeah. So that's quarterback, not scared. Running back DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams are probably the biggest threat I think they have.
Those guys are good.
Very good. Along with the tight end TJ Hawkinson. Those are the biggest threats they have on offense. Those three. Specifically DeAndre Swift and TJ Hawkinson is what I would say. Wide receivers?
I'm seeing something interesting here at the running back position. I'm seeing Jason Kabinda listed as a running back for them. He was a middle linebacker for Penn State. So I'm guessing they're playing him at fullback, not running back.
That would be a good guess.
Yeah.
Good guess.
That would make a little bit more sense because he's listed as their running back 4, and he did not play running back in college. So he's probably transitioning to fullback, not the first Penn Stater to do so. Also, in Detroit, wasn't Michael Robinson a Detroit Lion?
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and he was a quarterback for Penn State and then went to Detroit and played fullback.
LOL. Wide receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown is the first guy.
That's Equiminius's little brother.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. We're just going to leave it there. And then they have Khalif Raymond. Khalif Raymond is quick, not necessarily the best hands. If you get him the ball close to the line of scrimmage, maybe he can make something happen. Very, very Ray Ray McLeod like, if that makes sense. Yep. And the other guys, I don't really know if I'm being honest. I'm not scared.
Catterell Hodge, another 5'11", 185-pound kind of guy. So nothing crazy there. Not real size, mismatch situations. Although Amon-Ra, I think, is a pretty decent sized wide receiver. The tight end room, TJ Hawkinson, a highly, highly sought after draft pick, first round pick. The whole reason Jesse James is no longer in Detroit.
Yep.
They gave him a $5 million per year kind of deal and then went out and drafted TJ Hawkinson like a month later. So poor Jesse was off the team like a year after that or a year or two after that. backup tight end there being Brock Wright, who is a rookie that I know nothing about. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was undrafted.
Yep.
Because we looked at the tight end position quite a bit this last year, trying to find who would that be the perfect fit.
That yeah. we did. Offensive line, I'm just going to go down the line real quick. There's a couple good guys. I'm not touching the right guard's name, though. Taylor Decker, left tackle. Left guard, Jonah Jackson. Center, Evan Brown. Right tackle, Penei Sewell. We talked a lot about him. You'll recognize that game. He was a highly sought-after draft pick as well for the offensive line position, right tackle specifically. And then the right guard, whose name is lovely.
Ala Paluti Vata Vaitai. I know it's Vaitai. I probably messed up the first name.
Yeah, it's H-A-L-A-P-O-U-L-I-V-A-A-T-I. If you can pronounce that, send us a video. We'll air it right here on Steelers by the Lake podcast.
Dang, right, man.
We would love it. So again, that's the offense. Moving on to the defensive side of the ball. Ooh.
Real quick, Penei Sewell, one of the highest thought of offensive linemen in this draft class, has been struggling.
That's good news.
Not having a great year so far, so this is a real opportunity for the pass rushers.
Well, that's what happens when your best offensive lineman's a rookie. Sorry. Did that come out loud? Tackle. That came out of my mouth. Yeah. I apologize.
He played mostly right tackle in college, and now he's playing left. It's not always an easy transition.
It's almost never an easy transition.
Yeah, some do it. I mean, Kevin Dotson did. He went from right guard to left guard very easily and played very well last year.
I feel like
it's tougher at tackle.
It's tough.
You got a lot more space to cover.
But moving on to the defense, give us that defensive line, my guy.
Let me find it and I will.
Well, okay, fine. You got Michael Brockers on the one defensive end. You have Nick Williams on
the other.
Yep, Nick Williams on the other.
And all right, we got Slim McNeil, a Liam McNeil at nose tackle with John Pensini. And don't forget Kevin Strong, the number 3 D tackle.
Kevin Strong.
That's right. Always know where you got Strongs in the NFL.
No relation to James Strong.
He is a much better tan than I do.
It's fair. Linebackers, outside linebacker Trey Flowers and Charles Harris are the two starters, as they are another 3-4 type defense. And then you have Alex Anzalone, who is a name that I've heard a lot of. I don't know how well he had, actually plays. I know that he's probably their starter. And then
when Alex plays, man, he's really good. Problem is he's always injured.
Oof, fair.
Very highly athletic guy. So it's somebody that if he is healthy for this game, you're going to want to keep an eye on where he's at because he covers a lot of ground. He hits pretty hard.
Yep. And then Jalen Reeves-Maben is the other inside linebacker there for them. And then secondary, James.
The secondary, we've got our cornerbacks with Amani Arawarie, former Penn Stater. So there we got a theme going on here in Detroit. Ifeatu Melifonwu, who I believe is injured currently, and then we got AJ Parker in as well at corner. Looks like a lot of injuries in their cornerback room right now, so that could be interesting. Starting safeties, Tracy Walker, and then Will Harris. This is not a secondary that strikes fear in the hearts of men. I'll tell you that right now.
Nope.
So the opportunity will be there. We'll see how well Pittsburgh's passing game is ready to attack. Hopefully we got some healthy bodies out there. But this might be an opportunity. You know?
300, 400-yard game from Ben. Let's get it.
Honestly, one of the things I'm really eyeing up is, I will reiterate, I expect this to be Ben's last year with Pittsburgh. That being said, there are some records that he's very close to. 420 touchdowns in a career is by Dan Marino. 421 is Philip Rivers. I want to say Ben's somewhere right around 406, 407, something like that, maybe 408. So he needs to keep on slinging together these two touchdown games. If he were to throw a 3 or 4 touchdown game in there, it would not offend me. It'd be really nice. It
would not offend me.
He's also only 1,200 passing yards away from passing another person on the all-time passing yards list. So that one should be pretty easily done with the amount of games that are left, assuming everything goes well, he stays healthy, and everything goes to plan there. The touchdown's a little bit tougher, but again, just give me 2 touchdown passes every week, give me 3 once in a while, and we'll get there.
Yeah.
So really keeping an eye on that number, kind of like I was with the TJ Watt sack number, but now his next target is 16 sacks away. So yikes. We'll be talking about that again next year.
Yeah. All right. Give us that special teams real quick.
Okay. The kicker specialist here, your punter, Jack Fox. What does the fox say? I can't find the kicker on this roster.
I don't. I closed it. You know what? Special teams doesn't matter, except maybe the long snapper.
They're people too, dang it.
That's okay. Let's do keys to success. Against the Lions. Do you want me to go first or you to go first?
Go ahead, man.
Okay. My keys to success. One, don't lose. I know you're going to judge me for that one, and I don't care. We always lose to teams that haven't won a game, and it ticks me off. That is my first key to success, and you can judge me for it. Don't lose. Second one, don't have a balanced offense this game. I don't want to see. I know that that's like something you talk about. Have a balanced offense. We need to either if the running game is working, we need to run it down their throats. If the passing game is working, we need to pass until they do something to stop us. This team is bad. Take advantage of whatever is going wrong for them and do more of it. Period. I don't care what's happening. Do it. And then thirdly, you ready for the big one?
Yeah.
I want to see more interceptions. Turnovers, yeah. Turnovers in general. I always go to turnovers. But specifically, I want to see us not let Jared Goff throw for 500 yards on us, because knowing us, that's what we do. And I don't want to see it. So I want to see...
Legit concern right now.
Legit concern. I want to see some of the guys in the secondary getting interceptions. Not the big guy. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to see the big guy up front getting another one. But I want to see our secondary doing their job and forcing some turnovers. That's where I'm at. All to you,
fair
sir.
Fair enough. Before I go to my three keys, place kicker for the Detroit Lions, Austin Siebert, and the long snapper, Scott Daly.
Okay, they count. Now move on.
Get your daily dose of your long snapper here, folks. My keys to success. Number one, run the ball more successfully. We're seeing a pattern of it going in the wrong direction lately. I don't like it. I want to see them more successfully execute double teams on the interior versus the defensive linemen. If Kendrick Green can't handle these defensive linemen one-on-one, give them help at the beginning of the play with a double team from a guard and then move on. At least get a stalemate situation so Najee has somewhere to go. If he can get some steam rolling, he's going to get you 5 yards minimum on each one of these carries. So give him some room to run. Number two, get a second wide receiver to start making a serious contribution in these games. I have a bad feeling that Chase Claypool is going to be down, which is why I'm saying the number two. Deontay Johnson will get his. He gets 5-6 catches every single game, and usually is pretty close to that 50 to 100 yards receiving as well. But we have to have another option, or they're just going to double-team Deontay. If you can't get James Washington free, if you can't get Cody White free, if you can't get whoever we bring up from the practice squad free, it's not going to be pretty.
It's going to be checkdowns.
Even if you just go to the tight ends more on this game and throw six or seven passes to Pat Freiermuth and throw three or four to Gentry, I'm okay with that. That can substitute having a second wide receiver that gives you a big performance. But I'd love to see it out of another wide receiver, because right now, the only guys you got to cover in the wide receiver room for Pittsburgh are Chase and Deontay. The rest of them, just let them run free. They ain't doing nothing against you right now. Third one, pressure Jared Goff. And I need this coming from someone other than TJ Watt. We're going to get it from TJ. TJ's going to continue doing it. Don't get me wrong. I don't want him to have a bad game. But I need some of these other guys to start contributing, man. I need some Isaiah Loudermilk sacks and
we need that.
Some TJ Watt sacks and some Derek Tuzka sacks. Like, I don't care who it comes
Henry
from.
Henry Mondo sacks.
Yeah, Henry Mondo for sure. You know I want to see that. But I got to start seeing it from these other guys to help TJ out, or it's going to go right on back to what we saw a couple weeks ago, where he's getting double and triple teamed on a regular basis.
Yep. This is the game to get caught up on those sack, becoming the sack leader again. This is the game for it.
Stuff before we kick out of here, too.
Let's
go. A few more notes that we haven't got to.
Let's go.
Number one, Mike Tomlin with his 150th win in the regular season. He passes Bill Cowher now.
Who is at 149.
149.
Yeah. What'd Bill have to say?
Bill said, Chuck can hear you coming. Nice work. So very encouraging words from Bill Cowher. He wants them to go get that number one title for the Steelers and all-time wins by a head coach. Also, Steelers release kicker Josh Lambeau. So there is an available practice squad position. So this would be an easy thing to keep an eye on. They'll probably sign someone this week. If Chase is down, I wouldn't be surprised if another wide receiver comes in just to add some more depth to the team at the wide receiver position. Also, the protected players for the week, we have Carl Joseph, Kevin Rader, and then both Anthony Miller and Steven Sims. Again, further adding to our suspicion that one of the two or maybe both of them may be elevated for this Lions game.
Yes, sir. So that is going to do it for this episode of the Steelers by the Lake podcast. It will soon be called the Steelers by the Lake show, more than likely. We will keep you up to date on that as we look forward to expanding our range of giving content out to YouTube and TikTok and other places that we're trying to be present in the digital world. So again, we can't thank you guys enough for the support. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. At Steelers by the Lake and YouTube. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.